the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Sucker! Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The four-hour radio extravaganza, that is the Rob Brown Show, starts now. Welcome in, people. Great to have you. Happy Monday. More importantly, happy football week. We did it. We made it. We had to hang in there. We had to grind. But we did it. All of us together as one. We figured it out. We laced them up. We buckled them up. We hit the chin strap. We slap each other in the helmet and on the boots. And let's go. I have to tell you, I woke up this AM with a little pep in the step, with a little jazz in the hands. I have been waiting, anticipating this very week. And for those of you that go, wait a minute, Rob, it's just preseason. Maybe relax a little bit. To you, I say, nay, it shan't happen. I don't care if it's preseason football. Because the second word of the phrase preseason football is, and I've done the research to prove this, football. It's here. It's arrived. We've made it. Congrats. I'll tell you right now, I was already pretty jazzed about it. But then I got a little tweet on Saturday. I got my push alerts on. And there's only a few people, organizations, entities that I have push notifications on for my social media that no matter where I am or whatever I'm doing, when that person or entity somewhere in the world pushes send on a social media post, my phone says, hey, so-and-so just tweeted. One of those entities is an NFL reporter that I follow who covers the Carolina Panthers. And I got the old push alert. I believe it was Saturday morning, though I'm not going to lie. A good chunk of the weekend is just a blur for me. There was a lot going on. But I got a push notification that said that there was a news update about your Carolina Panthers. And it's camp. There were practices. Fan Fest went down on Friday up at Bank of America. And I said, uh-oh. Because more often than not, when I get an NFL camp update, it is one of two things. It is Micah Parsons has officially requested a trade from the Dallas Cowboys. Not just officially requested a trade, straight up said, and I quote, I no longer wish to play for the Dallas Cowboys. I have submitted my trade request, quote, inside of a bigger quote, in person. Which, yes, we're going to talk about later on in the show. Usually it's something like that. Or Washington Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin has requested a trade away from the team. And by the way, those are two different stories with I think, very different backgrounds to them. We're going to address that later in the show because the Rob Brown Show is in all the sports show. And I said, uh-oh, did somebody request to be traded? I thought everybody was just honky-dory up there in Charlotte, North Carolina. No, that is not the case. And then, you know, the second thought was, ordinarily, when I get a camp update in the middle of nowhere, at the middle of no time, ordinarily, I'm like, uh-oh, somebody done got hurt. Somebody got busted up. In a fairly depressing way, fully expected that I was going to open that push notification to find out that so-and-so is hurt. I'm not going to say any names. because I don't wish to put the gree-gree into the universe and it somehow be labeled my fault. So I said, uh-oh, nondescript, non-name Panthers player.
Were you thinking a certain side of the ball when you were thinking?
No, I didn't have any thought as to who it was.
Okay, all right.
I absolutely did, but I'm not even going to insinuate that, just in case. J-I-C, as the kids say. So I said, let's take just a minute here. Let's compose ourselves. Let's open this, and let's prepare to address whatever catastrophic news I'm about to receive on Monday's show. And so time slowed for just a moment. Everything just slowed down. And I opened it, and the push notification said, Carolina Panthers to play all starters for first half of first two preseason games.
All right.
Yeah, what I said.
There you go. I'm that's this Friday, right?
That is.
I believe.
This Friday.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Looking forward to that.
And I said to myself, heyo, I like that. I like that. Now, in years gone by, I might have said, I don't like that. I might have said, I don't like that because of aforementioned injury concerns. I might have said that because I go, hey, Dave, there's a reason that most coaches don't play their starters for more than a few snaps in any given preseason game. There's a reason for that. And you should follow the prescribed template of successful coaches. That's why they're successful. So you should do that. But that is not the gut reaction that I had. The gut reaction that I had was, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is, because I've won some people over on the BetMGM network, amongst other broadcasting destinations and outlets on which I have participated in National Football League preseason prognostications. I have won some people over on doing as I have done. And keep in mind, this is not a blow smoke up the skirt take. I am not a fan of your team as a radio dude or as a dude. I am a fan of your team in that if the Panthers win, daddy makes more money. And there are very few things that I love more than money. The list is almost exclusively wife, mom, dogs, nephew, 2 out of every 3 business days, brother. Like that's the list of things I like more than money.
Now I'm trying to figure out, are you more Scrooge McDuck or Mr. Krabs? I don't know which one.
Well, Scrooge McDuck would require me to have a vault of money in which to dive and love money so much I defy the laws of physics by being able to dive into a foundation of solid metal. That needs to be addressed. How did he swim in gold coins?
He's a duck.
I've never seen a duck swim on a sidewalk. It's solid metal coins. They're coins. It's solid metal.
Yeah, but there's space in between. And that's
correct,
where he
but
went
coins
space
are also
in
heavy. He like died, and then he blows them out of his mouth like Triple H up in the air. Gold coins? Come on. Like the billionaire talking anthropomorphic duck I can get behind. The ability to load gold coins into his mouth and Triple H them into the air while swimming the backstroke through solid metal past the point of believability, even for you, DuckTales, a woo-woo. We'll come to that later.
Yeah, your disparaging comments towards Scrooge McDuck are bothering me.
Well, he's a billionaire. Yeah. You know my feelings. So, I'm on board with that this year. And I'm on board with that this year because, as again, I have won a bunch of people over with the take that this team can, and I am even getting to the point where I'm talking myself into the belief, should win the division. The Saints are putting the ass in. Not fantastic, Bob. I think it's step back here for the Buccaneers. I can't imagine a world in which they successfully hit on not one, not two, but 3 straight good offensive coordinators. They got to reset there, I think. The Falcons, until they prove otherwise remain the Falcons, I'm getting to a point where I believe the Panthers should win the division. And so I thought to myself, are you overdoing it, Davo? Dano, are you allowing him to overdo it? Is there a point that the GM should step in and say, Coach, not a great idea? But the more I've thought about it, the more I've reached the conclusion that no, because you have got to reboot everything. You've got an opportunity this year. It is no longer, oh, this team could win the division. It is now, to me, this team should be the team that wins the division. And again, not blowing smoke, because I don't like any of the other teams in the division in which my personal team plays for. Just looking at it from the neutral observer standpoint, who is going to call the shots the way I see the shots for that football team and the other teams in that division, because it's my job, I honestly think you should win the division this year. I think that's how much of a step forward it's taken. So I also recognize that in order to do so, the funk that has permeated this football program for the past a lot of the years, all of them since I've gotten here, and a lot of them before that, in order to dispel the funk, a total system reboot must be established. You know how sometimes your computer's running real slow? You know how sometimes your computer's all jacked up? And if you're like me and not a big smart computer boy, the old solution is the classic, turn it off and then on again. Give it a second to breathe and think, and let's see if that makes it better. I'm kind of there. You've updated the software, the hardware, the firmware, the whatever wares, the underwear that you need to reboot. So let's turn it off and off and off again. And I think by getting away from this is how it's done here and saying this is what we do, I think that's a good thing. And I understand, like, this isn't a monumental thing. We're not, if the Panthers win this division and get into the playoffs and host a playoff game this year, I don't think at the end of the year anybody is going to look back and credit that success to Dave Canales played his starters for two quarters of two preseason games. What I am saying is, the way that this football team has operated for the past couple of years isn't good enough anymore. And this is one way of many that we have seen from the draft. I have leaned on that story about Dave Tepper in the blueprint when they showed the night of the draft when they drafted McMillan. And I have leaned very heavily on Canales and Morgan getting on the phone with the Cardinals because they had a trade deal worked out, where if we get to our pick at 8 and McMillan's still on the board, the Cardinals were going to send a pirate's chest of booty over to the Panthers in return for that number 8 pick to draft McMillan. And Morgan and Canales are on the phone with the Cardinals. The Cardinals renege a little bit on their trade offer. Morgan and Canales are like, no, dude, you're going to give us what you offered or we're not going to give you the pick. And the Cardinals said, okay, cool, keep the pick, draft the guy. And they look at Dave Tepper, and that's a moment in years gone by that Tepper would have said, here's what I want done. But he did not. He leaned back in the chair, he crossed the arms, and he gave him the old nod, like, make your decision, fellas. Make your decision. It's time for football guys to do football things. And ever since that moment, a moment that, if this team does achieve what I think they should achieve this year, ever since that moment, it has felt to me as if this is a different football year. So when I got that notification, the thought I had after I went through the absolute panic that something has gone catastrophically wrong in a year which things could go marvelously right, after I got past the panic and opened it and read that, I had the thought, this feels like a, we're not going to do it the way that A, we have done it, and B, everybody else has done it. And yes, there is the possibility that with expanded, those two words together, with extended and expanded preseason playing time, somebody could get hurt. Something could go wrong. They look like booty on offense or defense, and they expose themselves a little bit. All of those are realistic possibilities. You know what else is a realistic possibility? They click. They give themselves, effectively, by playing two quarters of two preseason games, they give themselves one regular game to find the pace, the rhythm, the timing, the organic chemistry that they need to work on growing. And the fact that, and this is just my take on it, the fact that they see that as a realistic probability and are going to embrace the opportunity to have one full game to find the timing and the rhythm and the routine with the additions they've made on the offensive line by switching, scrambling up a wide receiver room, and maybe more importantly, they still got to figure out who the hell's going to be on the roster on opening day out of the receiver room, because there's a lot of dudes playing out of their minds. The problem is there's a lot of dudes.
Is it possible that really what they're doing is they know what they got, they believe that this is going to be good, and they're just showcasing for ticket sales?
I would say no. And my thought, this is a theory. I would say no in that. What is the numero uno way to sell tickets? Win football games. I am a lot more inclined to go to a game if I think, if nothing else, think my team has a chance to win. Real quick anecdote to make that point. I was talking to the fellas that I was, for those of you that have maybe not listened to the show every day, your boy has been I was pretty much bought into. Your boy was going to go up to Buffalo, New York this year because my New Orleans Saints are on the road at Josh Allen, and his Buffalo Bills. And your boy was going to fly up there. I've got a friend of mine, used to live here. Now he lives in the Great White North. His parents are from Buffalo. They live right by the stadium. I looked up tickets this weekend because it was time to put together the trip. And so I looked up plane tickets on Friday, and they're not cheap. It's going to cost me like $400 to fly up there and back. But hey, once in a lifetime opportunity to go watch my team play for, by the way, last year at their current stadium, the Buffalo Bills. They move into the new stadium next year. Wonderful opportunity. There was going to be me and a couple of fellas from the GVL flying up to meet a dear friend of ours that now lives up there. And then I looked up tickets to that game. Great one. Rafter seats, upper deck, top of the stadium. Also, by the way, late September in Buffalo. And I don't think it's like winter cold there yet, but like up in the top of that stadium, it's a maelstrom. It's just a hurricane up there because it's an open air stadium in upstate New York. Upper deck, top row, great one. $400. For a football ticket.
Well, I mean, this is a team that's in the running for the Super Bowl and championships every single year. 1,000%. Did you expect it to be cheap?
I didn't expect it to be cheap. I didn't expect the rafters to be $400. Well, there's no rafters. It's open air. But like the top of the stadium to be $400. And I got to tell you, once I said, all right, I'm in between the ticket, between the airline flight, between the getting a car, even though I've got a free place to stay, I'm in for like $1,400 before feet hit ground in Buffalo, New York. And I called my buddy that lives up there, and I'm like, dude, I don't think I'm coming, man. I'm sorry. I can't do $1,500 to go watch my team lose by 50 because they're going to. If my team was a Super Bowl threat this year, I'm out $1,500 and I never think about it. If I think this is a game, I'm out $1,500 and it's not even a thought for me. I'm like, yo, I'm taking Buffalo, New York off the NFL stadium's visited list. But $1,500 to fly up there to watch my team lose by 40 to Josh Allen, I just wait till Buffalo plays in Charlotte and I'll go watch Josh Allen in person here. Granted, Carolina's going to lose that game by 20. But It's not going to cost me $1,400, $1,500. I think that's kind of the mindset here with his team. Winning games makes everything better. Winning playoff games, yeah, it'll up the excitement a little bit. But the mentality of preseason games for most of us is what? Great job. Let's see you do it in the regular season. I think the reality here is twofold. Number one, I think they want to give BY as much opportunity to work with a new, granted some guys have been on it, but new wide receiver setup. Tet McMillan at the one, XL at the two, Adam Thielen in the slot, Hunter Renfro slash Jimmy Horn Jr. as your fill-in utility five wide guys, whatever. I think you want to give a full game over the preseason to get there and not do it the way it's always been done in years that when it's been done, it's been bad. I think this is a matter of Dave Canales going, yeah, we might have to put a little bit more on tape than we'd like. However, if we can get these boys right, if we can hit the ground week one with plenty of time to click, we give ourselves a chance to win every game. And in a year that the Cats are, I think, not division contenders, I make the argument they should be the odds-on favorites. I think it feels like a good opportunity that they are taking, and I like that. We're going to talk some preseason football, but because preseason football is here. Lonzo and I are going to recap some of, not all of, because we do have Fight Club Thursday at 9:20, some of the big moments of SummerSlam over the weekend. Luka Doncic got paid, and we're going to talk a little bit of college football, all coming up this morning on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So before we get rocking and rolling into the world of sports, I guess we should say hello. Hi, welcome in the Rob Brown Show on your radio, the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere this early in the gosh darned morning. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. We collectively are thrilled to have you here as a part of the radio program.
Yep, collectively thrilled. That's
collectively
us.
Collectively thrilled.
Yep.
Should you wish...
Not thrilled individually.
No.
Collectively.
The amount of thrilled
yes.
is through the roof.
It intensifies if it's collective.
Should you wish to add your voice to the radio program, now is an opportunity to do so. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That number accomplishes two things for you. Thing number one is that is the number to call in and be a part of the radio show. 844-326-3663. That number also accomplishes thing number two. That, of course, is your text. That is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. 844-326-3663. Shoot a text to that number. It will show up right here on this very computer screen. Should you send a text to that number, and it does pop up right here on this very computer screen, I will read and respond to them live on the air. 844-326-3663. We also have for you our live stream. We stream all 4 hours of the show, all 5 days per week. And all you have to do to be a part of that, to watch, to listen, to interact, and enjoy, is go to our social media, Facebook, The Fan Upstate, give us a follow. Twitter, TheFanUpstate, give us a follow. YouTube, TheFanUpstate, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also do the same for the show individually by going to The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. Subscribe across all of them and never miss a moment of the hot sports action. Let's get to some stuff. What is a reasonable expectation for Teteroa McMillan? Because I've got to tell you, I do my best not to get overexcited, not to get carried away with the belief in or optimism for a rookie. Over the course of my broadcasting career, there have been a very small number of rookies that I have said, that dude's a dude. Lamar Jackson was on that list. Derrick Henry was on that list. Reggie Bush was on that list. I didn't say they'd all be hitters. I just said a few guys made the list. And by the way, I need y'all to stop pretending like Reggie Bush was a bad player in the NFL. He wasn't. But we'll talk about that in a different segment. I have not yet, and I guess I should say because now he's in the league, so retroactively adding him to that list feels like it would be cheating. I did not put Teteroa McMillan on that list. And I must also preface this conversation by saying I do not want to fall victim to the propaganda extravaganza that is the 2 weeks leading up to the first preseason game when teams put out their video clips. And we all know it's only the best stuff. They're not putting out when McMillan drops a pass or...
Yeah, if you want to see all that, just go to Twitter and you'll see every...
Oh, fans are putting
every
it out.
Every bad thing that was done.
With the acknowledgement that preseason practices are only open to fans and media for limited periods of time. We don't get to see anywhere close to a chunk of pride. We get to see a little bit. But here's what I'll say. Even acknowledging that what we have seen, what we will see, what we are seeing is part of the propaganda extravaganza that is preseason leading up to preseason game numero uno. When I tell you I have seen some clips of this dude catching the football, when I tell you, and I'm sure if you're a Panther fanatic, when I tell you that you have probably seen some clips of this dude being this dude, one made its way, a supercut made its way across my eyeballs yesterday of Teteroa McMillan. The supercut of Teteroa McMillan was just circus catches that he has made so far in preseason. There were one-handers. There were over-the-head Willie Mays basket catches. And I saw one more yesterday where McMillan elevates for a 50-50 ball. Well, I don't want to say it was a 50-50 ball because the defender was in Tet's chest. I mean, face mask on jersey. In his chest. Back to the football. Face mask in Tet's numbers. Balls up in the air. Elevated up over the DB. This is a spot that if Rob Brown was coaching, I would be telling offensive players, wide receivers, play for the PI here. That's a tough catch to make. Play for the PI. I'm not saying don't try to catch it. I'm saying lean into the defender and try to draw the flag. Get us the spot. Anything on top of that is bonus. Get us the spot. McMillan elevates, and as he is fading away, as if he's just Jordan in the finals, knocking back a step back. As he is fading away and back, the left hand goes up, backwards behind the head. The ball hits it. He pulls it forward. Because too many guys, when they have to extend backwards, they try to lean into that momentum, and they end up falling backwards with the ball. Falling backwards with the ball in one hand to the ground, physics is going to win 9 out of 10 times. When you hit the ground falling backwards, you're not Odell Beckham Jr. in his prime. Pull the ball forward back into the chest. Give yourself a chance to secure it before you go backwards to the turf. McMillan pulls the ball forward down to the chest. The DB is there. The ball ends up kind of in his left hand, locked up between him and the defensive back. McMillan takes the right arm, fights to push it between his chest and the defensive back, gets it through, secures the ball, which is still solo in the left hand, secures the ball into the body before falling backwards to the turf. Everything about that catch was exceptional. The body position was exceptional. The hands are exceptional. Everything about it was exceptional. When they stuck that onto the end of the Teteroa McMillan supercut that I saw, which had a ton of other circus catches, 50-50 jump balls in the corner of the end zone, diving down and away out route catches, etc. When I saw all of that combined, I wondered if I missed by not putting this cat on my "that dude's gonna be a dude" list with Henry, with Lamar, etc., etc. So what are the reasonable and realistic expectations for this rookie wide receiver in that wide receiver room, which is stacked? He is going to be on the opening day roster. How much is it fair? How much pressure is it fair to put on this cat? Because I'm running out of reasons to think it's not a lot. The kid's got talent. It's shining right now. But it's all been in practice. Another part of the reason I'm very excited that we are trotting out the offensive starters for 2 quarters on Friday. Football's here. We're talking a lot of football on the show today, but there are plenty of other stories to get to. Luka Doncic gets fat stacks from the LA Lakers. What does that mean for the NBA? We'll talk about that coming up later in the show. We got to talk a little NASCAR, and the MLB Speedway Classic was a disaster. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's go.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. I ordinarily save stories, events like this one for Fridays. But this story has been kind of front and center of social media. It's been front and center of some of the big news networks, etc., etc. So I don't want to save it. I want to address it very quickly. You know our beloved Portland Pickles. We have talked about them on the show before. Now, ordinarily, when we have talked about the Portland Pickles, it has been for ridiculous stories. They are one of the minor league baseball teams that has decided to lean into kind of being silly, which is great. It is, to me, it is fun. It is more fun because the reality is, while what these minor league baseball teams do is super importante to Major League Baseball, at the end of the day, if we are fans that are not hardcore baseball dudes, and I will keep it a buck, I love baseball. I don't really follow much minor league baseball, with the exception of the top prospects on my own team. I follow the Burgers. I follow the Drive. They're here. They're local. But in the very long time that I have been here, in the very long time that I have been in this market, and I hope I don't get in terrible trouble for this, it's only the hardcore baseball fans around here, like hardcore baseball fans, that are really into what the prospects on those teams are doing. And I've said before, you should go because there are future Red Sox and there are future Rangers on those two teams, guys that will be in the show one day. And it is very good baseball. But I also understand and acknowledge that we as fans of minor league teams, and I think specifically the Spartanburgers, have not figured it out. It's been figured out for a while, but understood and leaned into. If you create a fun, fan-first ballpark, atmosphere, environment, you're going to do better. The Savannah Bananas and all of the little teams in what is now propped up as the Banana Ball League, they are selling out Major League Baseball stadiums. They sold out Bank of America Stadium. You know, the NFL 77,000 plus seat Bank of it. They sold it out because they just said, let's lean in on the fun. Like, let's have fun here. And the fun's great. Well, the Portland Pickles are in that group. However, the last time we talked about the Portland Pickles was when Kenny the Dill Pickle, when the mascot costume got stolen. We had a lot of fun, but that was what? That was a year and a half, 2 years ago?
I think it was
been a while.
That. Yeah.
Well, the Pickles have gotten back into the public eye because as the minor league season is approaching its conclusion, the Pickles held fan appreciation night a couple of days ago. And during fan appreciation night, they kind of Savannah Bananas'd a little bit. They went and they picked a fan out of the crowd to take in at bat. Now, here's the conversation. Here's the discussion that I want to make this about. We're going to play detective a little bit because, as I told the great one when he showed up and I was introducing him to what I wanted to do with this segment this morning, there are one of two outcomes on the table for this story. The story is this. Well, you know what? I mean, it's this. I got the sound for you. The story is the I was almost calling them the Bananas. The Portland Pickles at fan appreciation night pulled a fan out of the crowd and said, "We want you to take an at bat for the Pickles tonight for fan appreciation night." And this happened. They pulled a young fan, but a fan nonetheless, out of the crowd. They put him at the AB spot. And the dude goes, dong. Big dong. Like, left field gone, not even a doubt. Soon as it's off the bat, you're like, that one's in another zip code. And as the announcer said, in what is, as of today, a top five all-time home run call. And I'm not just talking about minor league ball. I'm talking of the baseball I have listened to on the radio, which extends for 30-plus years. Four letters, one word, gone. Favorite home run call. Now, here is the question mark. Work or shoot? Work or shoot? And here's why this is the thought I had. Because there's two possible outcomes to this story. Outcome number one. This is real. This is a shoot. They just happened to pull a former baseball player out of the crowd. And I know he's a former baseball player because last night at about 11:30 p.m., I got a text from a cat you may know. He is a former Major League Baseball player. He goes by the name of Cody Decker. Decker is my Saturday co-host on Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetMGM network. Decker's a former MLB player. He's been out of the game for a couple of years, and while he's been doing radio, Decker, who was a slugger back in the day, Decker does lessons. Like, he teaches young baseball players. He gives them some coaching. Decker texts me at about 11:30 last night, and he says, "Have you seen the Portland Pickles thing?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm doing a segment tomorrow." And he goes, "I'm about to spice it up for you." He said, "The kid's name," who, and I don't know if, and this is part of the reason I want to have the work or shoot conversation, I never heard his name during the run-up. But in fairness, I've also only seen the social media clips about it. He said, "The kid's name is Eli. He is a former college player, low level, and I coached him. I've given him hitting instructions. I've worked with him for a couple of off seasons. Kid's got a game." Said, "I've coached that kid. I taught him that swing, or at least the mechanics of it." And I said, "Eli." And he said, "Yeah, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. I'm out." So I got to have the conversation with Cody Decker. This is why I'm having the work or shoot. And for those of you who ain't wrestling fans, that means, was this a real organic thing? Or was this scripted? Because, as I tell you all the time, a good chunk of what you see on social media is scripted and solely designed to get you to click it, to share it, to spread it around so that that account gets to go viral. The Portland Pickles, if this story is to be believed, is to be believed, went into the crowd, picked a dude, and they just happen to pick a guy who is a good enough baseball player that professional baseball players like Cody Decker saw him, took notice of him, coached him up. Or the Pickles knew he was this kid, knew he had a shot at going dong, and set him up to go take the AB. The two possible outcomes are this. Either A, this is totally legitimate. It was a lottery selection, and they hit the jackpot by picking a dude who's got a stroke, sending him to the dish, and he goes AB. And by the way, I've watched the clip. The pitcher was not underhanding to a fan. He was throwing at him. Or, which means it's hard to hit a home run. Or option two, it was scripted, it's a work. If it's option one, it is a story that can only be tagged with one of my favorite phrases of all time. How can you not be romantic about baseball? But if number two, if it's a viral stunt, if it was scripted, if it's a work, as Lonzo's about to tell you he believes it is, if it's a scripted work, it's going to be super disappointing. Because while congrats on going viral again, Pickles, I know that that's the goal. If it's a scripted work, then one of the greatest moments I have ever seen in baseball was kayfabe.
All right, so you said one thing that I think even further makes me believe that this is not real, that it's work. You said the pitcher threw the ball hard at the batter. They're not going to do that. When you pull someone out of the crowd, they're not going to do that because they're not going to risk hurting someone who is...
Time out. Context. This was a real game for standings in the league. That was a free... If it's true, that was a free out for the other team if a minor league pitcher, a guy trying to work his way up through the ranks, that AB, for whatever reason, and I don't know if this is like a league policy, the Pickles had to get a waiver, like I don't know how that works, but if it's real, that pitcher had a free K right there in front of him. He was going like 89, 90, minor league fastball, and it was not down the pipe. Like, he was working this cat.
I'm not buying it because of the pitch. I don't think you do that to someone you just randomly bring out of the crowd. I think you only do that to someone you know is a baseball player and can handle it. Because if that's some nervous dude that you got out of the third row and he stumbles into the pitch, that's a major lawsuit.
I am going, and that is the question, I'm going to work on an assumption that I feel comfortable working off of only because I've been in the sports game for a long time. You guys, for those of you that don't know, I work PA in-host arena or in-game arena host for the Swamp Rabbits. Anytime that we are going to bring anybody out on the ice to play a game, and not like a hockey game, like, you know, go out there and run an obstacle course or, you know, giant beer pong or whatever we're doing. Anytime we're going to do that, before they go on the ice, they do have to sign a big fat waiver that says, hey, if you slip and crack your skull open, you can't sue the team. So I'm working on the assumption that this team had, if it's real, had a fan sign a waiver that says, look, if you take a 90-mile-an-hour baseball to the back, you can't sue us for it. That's part of the acceptance of possible outcomes for doing this. But I will also acknowledge, the Pickles are a collegiate summer baseball team. We've talked about this. The old Spartanburgers were that, right? They're a summer baseball team. Effectively, they are made up of college kids that join a summer league just to play ball outside of the college baseball season to keep everything fresh. These are not like true minor league baseball players working their way up to get on a team. These are college players who are keeping themselves sharp for when college baseball starts up here in a handful of months. At the same time, these summer leagues, they are looked at by scouts. People are paying attention. These are guys that are one, maybe two seasons away from being in the MLB draft trying to get on a minor league team. I don't know. I don't know if this was, is it possible that the Pickles called their opponents and said, hey, look, we're going to do this thing. Don't treat him like a guest. Treat him like a player. He's an AB. We get it. Did they call the other team and go, hey, we're going to do this thing. If you guys don't mind, we'll give you a free out in the same inning if you'll just, you know, throw some gas to him. We'll give you a free run later to make up for. I don't know what the case is. That's why I'm super energized by this story. Because if it is, they pulled a random fan and he just happened to be a real baseball player and he went dong. That's one of the greatest baseball stories of all time. If it's not, and it's a work, it's still a really cool story, but just like it doesn't have that same romanticism about it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories. You know, we got some Panther talk, some college football talk. It's football week. Ladies and gentlemen, Hall of Fame caliber sports flash now.
Wow, does that mean I'm retiring soon? Hope not. Unless you want to give me enough money to retire. MLB's first ever Speedway Classic played on the infield at Bristol Motor Speedway was rain delayed from Saturday into Sunday, but ultimately won by the Atlanta Braves 4-2 over the Reds. Rookie Hudson Waldrop was credited with the win. The Braves recorded 10 hits over the two-day affair, including a pair of home runs from Greenville native and Wren High School graduate Eli White. William Byron took home the checkered flag at the Indy Corn 350, also known as the 350, yesterday, fighting off fuel concerns down the stretch en route to his second victory of the season. Byron ran out of gas at both Michigan and Indianapolis this year. After showing up to camp in a walking boot with a calf strain, Florida quarterback DJ Lagway returned to active practice over the weekend. Lagway will take limited snaps, and the Gators offered no timetable for a full return for the Heisman Trophy contender. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show coming up next.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.